I'd like to read two passages tonight, and the first is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, and that's on in these black Bibles is page 1452. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, page 1452. Wherein God, willing to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, intervened by an oath that by two unchangeable things, in which it was impossible that God should lie, we might have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and entering into that within the veil where Jesus is entered as forerunner for us, become forever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And then in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, that's page 1155. Page 1155, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And he went on board ship, and his disciples followed him. And behold, the water became very agitated on the sea, so that the ship was covered by the waves, but he slept. And the disciples came and awoke him, saying, Lord, save, we perish. And he says to them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then having arisen, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men were astonished, saying, What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I'd like to speak tonight, dear friends, about an anchor and a storm, an anchor in the storm. We went down a few days ago to go camping in Cornwall. I don't know how many of you have been camping in a tent before. We've enjoyed it for a long time. It's very nice, the open air, the fresh air and the outdoor life. But we went camping a few days ago for a week, and there came a day, last Thursday, when we looked at the weather forecast and saw that a storm was coming in, and it didn't look too good. So we were getting prepared for the storm. We knew that it didn't look very good at all, the forecast. So we went out and got some extra strong pegs to secure yourself firmly into the ground, and some extra ropes to tie the tent. And I spoke to one of my neighbours at the campsite who had much better ropes and pegs than we had, and he was very well prepared. So we did that, and we did all that we could to make the tent secure because the storm was coming. Some people packed up camp and headed for home, but we decided to stay. And we've camped in many different conditions, very heavy rain and many other things, but we hadn't seen this before. So we made every preparation that we could, but then the storm started coming in the evening. And we found that, to cut a long story short, the tent wasn't able to stand the storm. The poles started snapping. And we made every preparation that we could, but there came a point during late in the middle of the night that where we needed to evacuate the tent and come out of the tent and take whatever we could. And we spent the rest of the night in the car. And it made me think that one of the things that we were worried about during the night was the entire tent being blown away, because the storm got up to 54 miles an hour. And perhaps we've been in storms like that before, or worse storms. But there were people out on boats nearby, because we were near Land's End, and there were people out that had to be rescued by helicopter off the boat, so that they didn't drown, or so that the boats didn't go onto the rocks. There was a very severe storm. But what we were concerned about was the entire tent being blown away. So we had to have an anchor. The tent pegs had to hold whatever possessions we had left in the tent. And we spent the rest of the night wondering whether those tent pegs were going to hold. But we found shelter in the car, and even the car was shaking a bit. But we thankfully got through it, and the tent survived, just about. So it made me think about the anchor. Because in the face of a storm, I don't know what sort of storms we've faced, both in the physical world in terms of severe weather, or whether we've faced storms. We have, perhaps all of us have faced storms of different kinds. It might be a spiritual attack. It might be some form of attack on ourselves, our personally. It might be any forms of spiritual and difficult times and storms that come in our lives. Where are we finding our anchor? What are we putting? How are we secured? Where do we find our anchor? Because the most important thing you need in a storm is attaching yourself to something that's not going to move. In our case, it was attaching ourselves to the ground. If you're on a ship, you need an anchor that is going to dig you into the bottom so that the ship doesn't get blown away. Some of those ships were heading towards rocks. That's why they needed a rescue. We need an anchor. What is our anchor in the storm? Because storms come in our lives. There is going to be a storm in each one of our lives at some point. A storm, any kind of storm, any kind of crisis. But most of all, there's going to be a storm of God's judgment, which I'll come on to a bit later. But the anchor is the vital thing to hold us steady, so that we don't get swept away. The car was the safest place for us to go, because it wasn't going to get blown away, not by that storm anyway. And we had shelter for a period of time, and it seemed like a very long time before the wind stopped blowing. But we need an anchor, don't we? In the storms of life, we need an anchor in the storm that is coming on this world. And the anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this chapter in Hebrews 6, which we read, there's a lot of other things in it. There's a lot of other details in this passage. But there are two unchangeable things. Things that cannot move. When you... the Bible tells us elsewhere about a man who built his house on the sand and a man who built his house on the rock. And we know that when the storm came, the man who built his house on the rock was the one who kept his house. The man whose faith was in God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. And it tells us in this passage that by two unchangeable things, it was impossible that God should lie. That means God is a God of truth. We live in a world of lies. Many, many lies are being told in many different ways. Not just by individuals, but by governments. In many, many different ways. A great corruption that there is in this world. But it is impossible that God will lie. That means that we find perfect and complete truth in God's words. How wonderful that we have a source of perfect and complete truth. It is impossible that God should lie. That's one of the things that God cannot do. He cannot lie. We have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge. Refuge is where you go when there's a storm. Where do we go? Where do we go for refuge when we find the storm coming in our lives? Where do we go when the storm of God's judgment is coming? We go to the Lord Jesus Christ for refuge. He alone is the shelter in the storm. And we are to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul. I can tell you, when you're in a storm, you are very grateful for an anchor. You're very grateful for something which you can secure yourself to, or something to, so that you don't get blown away into danger. You're very grateful for something that doesn't move. I don't have a great deal of experience of storms. Maybe other people do. But an anchor is so vital. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the anchor for our soul, if we put our faith and trust in what he has done. Both secure and firm. How wonderful, wonderfully assuring is that, that the Lord Jesus Christ is an anchor both secure and firm. Because he has entered into within the veil, where Jesus has entered as forerunner for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, came into this world. He came into this world born in Bethlehem's manger. He lived a perfect, holy, spotless life. But his pathway, dear friends, led to the cross. His pathway led to Calvary's cross, where the greatest victory over sin and death and Satan, the only victory over sin and death and Satan, was won. And the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, can be our refuge and our anchor. Not just in the storms of life that come, and there are many storms of life that come in many different ways, but on the greatest storm that is coming. And the storm that is coming is the storm of God's judgment over this world. This world's system, this world's judgment. The corruption of the world system is growing greater and greater by the day. That this world system is going to come under judgment. And there is going to be a storm of God's judgment. And there is going to be a storm of what we call the Great Tribulation. The terrible things that are described in Revelation, the outpouring of God's wrath on sin. Because he is a holy and perfect and righteous God, and every sin is an offence to him. Sin is what we do that is wrong. We know that, don't we? From our youngest age, we know when we're bad. We know when we've done things wrong that our mum and dad have asked us not to do. Or we know when we've done things wrong, even if nobody else tells us. We know in our hearts, in ourselves, that what we've done is wrong. The only secure place is in the Lord Jesus Christ. From the judgment that is going to come on this earth for sin. Of the judgment that is going to come on everyone who has not been washed in washed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus and found refuge from the terrible storm that is coming. So the Lord Jesus in Matthew 8 was in a storm. It made me think how many storms are in the Bible, especially the Gospels. There's also a longer passage for other reading at other times in Acts 27, which speaks about a very bad storm that I think lasted about 14 days. Our storm lasted about 6 or 7 hours, which seemed like a very long time. But there was a storm in Acts 27 where Paul, the apostle, it was 14 days or thereabouts that they were on the sea in the Mediterranean. That's very interesting further reading. But this passage here, the Lord Jesus went on board ship and his disciples followed him. And the water became very agitated on the sea, so that the ship was covered by the waves. If you're in a boat and the waves are going right over the boat, then you have something to worry about. You have to work very hard to bail the water out before the boat sinks. But Jesus is sleeping. How wonderful is that? The ship could not sink when the Lord of glory was on it. The ship could not go down when the creator of the world was on it. He is in total control of every situation. The disciples came and awoke him and saying, "Lord, save, we perish." Presumably that means that the boat was very close to sinking, or they felt it was anyway. He says to them, "Why are you fearful? O ye of little faith." Why are you fearful? There is a great deal of fear around today, as we know. There is a great deal of fear that's being spread in many different ways. But faith is the answer to it. Faith is the answer to fear. According to the Lord Jesus, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" What's the answer to fear? The answer is faith. How wonderful is that, from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think those are words that Jesus would even say to his people today. "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" He arises and rebukes the winds and the sea. When you have a storm blowing, you can make every preparation that you can to try and secure everything down or to try and get out of the storm. But there's only so much you can do. You just have to wait. You just have to realise that there's nothing else you can do. There's no other preparation that you can make. You just put your trust in whatever anchor you've got, you make every preparation. The preparation that you need, dear friends, is putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we can see from this passage, he is the Lord of all creation, and he's over every storm. There is no storm that can come that he is not able for. There is no storm that you can come in your life that he's not able for. And there is the storm of God's judgment, which he has borne on our behalf. He has borne our sins in his own body on the tree if we've trusted in him. Has he borne your sins? Have you trusted in him, dear friends? Have you trusted in what he has done at Calvary's cross? Have you trusted in what he has done on your behalf, dear friends, so that you might not have to face that storm of God's judgment yourself? He rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men were astonished, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" That is the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends. That's who I announce to you as Lord and Saviour. Read about the rest of what he did in the Gospels. Read about that perfect, holy, spotless life. That life so different from ourselves. So different from every single one of us. Because we're all sinners. We've all done our own thing. We've all rebelled against a perfect and holy God. We've all been broken God's commandments in so many different ways. But that perfect, holy, spotless life, dear friends, was laid down on your behalf and on mine. Because that path of obedience to the Lord, to God the Father, led to the cross. The awfulness and horror of the cross. He was betrayed by his closest friends. He was mocked and scorned. He was whipped and beaten. The brutal treatment from wicked man at the cross, we cannot fully enter into the greatness of what the Lord Jesus suffered. He suffered the storm of God's judgment so that you might never have to do that if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he alone is the anchor. He alone is the refuge from the storm. And a storm of God's judgment is coming, because the wickedness of every form of wickedness, of deception and lies and cruelty and all of the terrible things that are being done in such a big way across the earth and have been throughout history, God will call to account. Many, many things are being done, and God will one day call this evil to account, because everyone shall appear before the judgment of God. Those that are unsaved will appear before the great white throne, which is described in Revelation 20. Those that are saved, those that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, know that their sins have been paid for. We've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Because the saints in Revelation overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. We put our faith and trust in him and we are cleansed and redeemed for all eternity. So there is a great calm. There was a great calm. And there is a great calm. And there can be a great calm in our lives when we put our faith and trust in him. We put our faith and trust in what he has done at Calvary's cross. And faith in him alone. Because he alone has the power to cleanse us from every sin. And there is a calm and a peace that every true believer enjoys, which the non-Christian knows nothing about. Jesus is entered into heaven as a forerunner for us. And it tells us also that he's become a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. That means he appears before God's face for us on our behalf. And we read this afternoon in Romans about those that are led by the Holy Spirit. These are sons of God. When you become a Christian, God gives you the Holy Spirit to indwell every true believer. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. How wonderful that is. That's called the unspeakable free gift. The unspeakable free gift of the Holy Spirit. So that we might become more like Jesus every day and trust in him as we are led by the Spirit and become more like Jesus and more pleasing to him and more like him every day of our Christian lives. May we all have this assurance of this anchor, this refuge from the coming storm, which is very soon coming, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.